Good morning. Greetings to each one in the name of Jesus. It is a blessing to be here again today and to worship together with all of you, and encouraging to look into the Word and think about how the Word of God speaks to our life, even here today, many, many years after it was written, and it has many instructions for us. The title for my message today is this. Remember that thing about members helping each other? My shoulder hurts. I got to get my arm up like this. Courage. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, my title was To Do Battle is Normal. And today I want to look at courage. And the Bible has a lot to say about courage, and a whole bunch of verses we could look at. So I want to look at some of them, and we'll see how far we get. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, God, for so many blessings that you give to us. Thank you that we can know you and know that you are our Father in heaven. You care about us and you desire to work the work of your kingdom in us and through us. And I pray, God, that as we continue to look into your Word, we would build upon the things that you gave to us already, and we would be empowered and encouraged as we think about what you tell us about our life, about faith, about being obedient to you. So guide us as we continue here today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. There is some well-known scriptures about a well-known chapter in Scripture about someone being told to take courage, and that is in Joshua chapter 1, and I'd like to turn there. And first off, does someone have a definition for the word courage? Anybody?
Brave.
Fearless. Or valor. Valor means being strong. So those are all descriptions of what the word courage means. So if we go to Joshua chapter 1, and here is an Old Testament story, and I have several of those Old Testament stories where there was instruction given for battle. These were physical battles, and the battles that we deal with now are spiritual battles, but the principles of God's input, God's help, and God's requirements that were there for those physical battles apply to our spiritual life even today, and God wants to use those history lessons, stories, to teach us something about how he wants to impact who we are even here today. So Joshua chapter 1, I want us to notice several different things there that God has to say. One is, two of these are promises from God. Number one, God says, I will give. So God says he will give. Number two, God says you will overcome. And then God says the part that you play, number three, God tells Joshua is obey. obey the words that I tell you. And number four is believe. And that results in have great courage. So we'll say the result is courage. So God gives his promises to Joshua, the leader, and he says, here is the part that you play. And as you play that, as you play your part, then you can have great courage. So beginning in verse 1 here. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this great Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And it goes on to tell the story about how Moses passed on the word of God to all the people, and then having received that instruction from God, he passed on those words to the people, and the people responded back to Joshua in verse 16. Beginning there, they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. So the people answered back to Joshua God's word there as well, saying, be strong and of good courage. So be fearless and be brave. Be a man of valor. And God gave his promises, saying, I'm going to give this land to you. No man shall be able to stand before thee. You will overcome. And he says, obey and believe. And then the result will be that you will be a person of great courage. You will be a person that can actually take great courage, knowing that the power of God is with you. So we're familiar with a bunch of the stories that are there in Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, and there are stories there of success and stories of failure. And there is a very common thing that runs through all of it, and that is when people took God at his word and followed his instruction, they were empowered to be courageous and to be overcomers. Now, if you think about the attack on the city of Jericho and how they went about that, it must have looked and felt foolish, don't you think? To march around that city, the entire army, the priests, and the Ark of the Covenant, to march around that city and not do anything. And the next day you do it again, and the next day you do it again. And on the seventh day, you do it seven times, but at the end of it, you're told to everybody shout a great shout. And this is the instruction that they are given. And to those who were looking on, they must have wondered what strange thing this was that these strange people were doing. And I can imagine that the Israelites perhaps felt like this must look a little bit foolish to everybody that's watching. But they were willing to do as they were instructed. They followed God's direction, and the city was given to them. The walls literally fell down, and the city was opened right up, and they conquered that city. Think about the crossing of the Jordan River when the children of Israel were told, all right, time for you to cross the river and go into the promised land and take that land. And they were told to start marching, head for the river. And the river is rushing, you know, Jordan River, that's a good sized river. And they were told, yeah, go right ahead. As soon as the priests step into the water, there's going to be a dry path for you to walk across. And if they stopped to think about it, that could have looked pretty foolish to have that whole group of people marching toward that river. And the priests at the forefront, marching along, carrying the Ark of the Covenant. But they did as they were told, and God worked a miracle. They followed the directions. As soon as their feet stepped into the water stopped flowing, and there was land for them to walk across. They followed the instructions. In the Old Testament, there is a story about a city that was a strong city. And if you read about the history, there were several attempts on this city to take it, and they failed. And whoever was the king or the ruler at that time made a promise that whoever takes the city, I think he was promised to be governor of the city or ruler of the city, and he was going to get such and such a person for his wife. And so there was quite a motivation and quite a reward for the person who would take that city. And sure enough, a man, and I'm sure his friends, climbed up something. Forgotten what it was. But they climbed up through something. I don't know if it was a tunnel for the water or exactly what it was. And I would imagine they had to go through their single file. And so one man jumps out and begins the battle and hopes that his friends come along behind and support him. And that's what they did. And they took the city. They couldn't breach it by the walls. They couldn't take it by coming over the walls. But this man and his friends went up through this thing and attacked from within, and they took the city. We can read that story and think, boy, that took a lot of courage. But what I want us to look at today, in as far as what is courage and what is real courage or courageous faith, is the man who took this city. It was about himself and what he was going to gain for it. It really was. There was quite a prize that was held out. And yes, this was one of the cities that God had promised to give them, but there was quite a prize that was offered to the man who would take this city. And so there was a bit of self-interest involved in this man's courage to go ahead and to do that. And so there is courage that is driven by a person's self-interest as well. And so while that is courageous, that is not necessarily the courage that we want to look at and talk about. If you think about Jonathan and his armor bearer who went out to do battle with the Philistines at a time when a lot of the Israelites were hiding. They were hiding in caves. They were fearful for their lives. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, he's like, hey, let's go up there and let's do battle with these people. And who knows, that God's not limited to save by many or by few. And hey, let's go see if God will work through us. That's courage. Number one, he believed that God could do it. And on the other hand, he was like, we don't know for sure if he's going to, but let's go in faith, believing that God can enable us. And they did an amazing thing there that day. They were overcomers, but they went believing that God could do it. And they went giving glory to God. There is the kind of courage that I would like for us to consider as being courageous faith, courageous strength through faith. David in a cave, he snuck up to the man who wanted to kill him and he cut off a piece of his robe just to prove that his intent was not to harm the king that was actually after him. That took some courage, that took some doing. And I believe David was banking on the fact that God had promised that he would someday be king. And so with God's promise in mind, David was courageous enough to do that. Now we have many stories in history about people who have done great things. And perhaps some of you would think that you'll never have an opportunity to exercise great courage. Maybe you might think, well, I'm a girl, or whatever category you might fit in, and you might say, I'll never have a chance to conquer the world or to be a great missionary or to do any of these great things that early explorers did or great men of God. Well, I'll never have a chance to do that. Well, courage is needed in all kinds of different ways. There's courage that is big and visible, and there is courage that is small and not necessarily noticed. And so to all who belong to God, there is a battle to be fought. And to all who have a battle to be fought, there is a need for courage. And so we have in history, there are lots of stories that talk about things that people did. And it's easy to look at them and think that those people had a lot of courage. In history, there is a story about the Lewis and Clark expedition. And to me, for somebody to head out through the wilderness and face grizzly bears and who knows what all, armed with muzzle loaders that are pretty flimsy compared to anything that we have today, I think, boy, that takes some courage to go out amongst beasts that would just love to gobble you up, armed with a single shot that takes a bit of time to reload. And but these men did it. And so is that real courage or isn't it? There was a lot of opportunity, yes, to be eaten by some big, eaten by one of these. Or there was an opportunity for great adventure and to make some money and to have quite a bit of fame. So there was a lot of self-interest as well in their minds as they set out to discover new lands and to have great adventures. And most of them actually survived the adventure. And so that looks courageous on one hand, but on the other hand, there's a lot of self-interest. Christopher Columbus, we would say, was a courageous man who set out in quite a rickety wooden ship, we would call nowadays, to cross a huge ocean, facing who knows what all dangers, to hopefully find a land. Some people were pretty convinced that he'd get so far and he'd fall off the edge. Other people were convinced that he'd get so far and there would be these huge sea monsters that would come up out of the water and sink their boat and eat them up. And there were many unknown terrors on the sea because they were going where no one had gone before. Christopher Columbus was a man that had a lot of courage, but he also was very interested in gold and fame. So a lot of self-interest there that was driving him in his courageous quest. There is in history, in more recent history, there is a story told of a man, his name was Henry Irwin, and this man was in a airplane, a B-29 bomber, in 1945, 46, somewhere around there. And his job was to drop these phosphorus bombs so that the bombers following could see the target. They're basically flares that give off a lot of smoke and a lot of heat, and it would mark the targets. But as he dropped one of these through the bomb chute, the fuse ignited much too soon, and it popped open and blew back up the chute and into the airplane, burning his eye, burning his ear right off, nose, I think. And the airplane was immediately filled full of smoke. The pilot couldn't see where he's going, couldn't see his controls, nobody could tell where they were going. And the pilot sort of veered off, thinking that perhaps they'd at least land in the water. And this man knew that this flare is very hot, but he groped around in this white smoke, not able to see until he got his hands on it. And he carried it through the plane under his arm. This thing is over 1,000 degrees, spewing this phosphorus that when it gets on your skin, as long as there's air, it keeps burning. And he came to a table that was down and locked that the navigator used. He had to unlock it with one hand and raise it all the while he's holding this thing. He goes all the way to the cockpit to where they can open a window, and he throws it out. And they discovered at that point they were 200 or 300 feet above the water. They were in a dive going toward the water. The window opened and this thing out the window, they finally could see. And they looked around and he's there. His clothes are all burned off. His flesh is burned down to his ribs. And they gave him morphine. They gave him enough that he actually could have just taken a lot and just passed out and died right there. But he took only a little bit. And they flew him back to the base. They expected him to die. He expected to die. He made that choice fully expecting that if he was able to carry it out, he would die, but perhaps everybody else in the plane would be saved. And amazingly, long story short, he survived. Many operations later, he was able to see, and he ended up dying at the age of like 82, about, I don't know, 18 years ago. So you look at that and you say, wow, that's amazing courage. So he had a choice. Everybody could die, but maybe he could sacrifice himself and save everyone else. Boy, you're getting into some courage there. A person who's willing to give his life so that others have a chance of living. And God actually tells us that there is no greater love than that. Feels a little funny to tell that story while they were in the business of bombing and killing people, but there it is. It's the story of a man who saw an opportunity to save his fellow teammates while being willing to give up his own life. That's some courage to do that. And his goal was not about himself. His goal was for the purpose of perhaps saving other people. And all the people would hold that story up and say, that's courage. That's courage that someone would be willing to die a death like that, like he almost died, in order to save his teammates. Crashing into the water and going quickly probably would have seemed like easier way to die than what he chose, but he was interested in saving his teammates. I was told a story once of a man who had a lot of issues in his life, and he committed suicide. And what was said about that man who committed suicide is that he was very brave. I scratch my head over that one and think, brave? Well, I guess if you know something about eternity and what awaits on the other side to take your own life, that is pretty brave. But really, he was looking for an escape from his own issues. So was he brave? To die was easier than to deal with his issues, I guess. That's some courage, I guess. There are people who have locked themselves into a barrel or some other kind of tub and went over the Niagara Falls. In my mind, whoa, that'd take a lot of courage to do that. But what was their goal? It was to be famous, perhaps make their fortune. It was very self-serving. So while it's courageous, it's also very self-serving. And we could look at a lot of other things, a lot of stories, things that people have done, that on the surface they seem very courageous, and they do have a level of courage in it. But I want to look at a few more stories in the Bible and think about the courage that it took to make that choice. And there are many different ones we could look at. And this kind of dawned on my mind the other day after brothers meeting. We had been looking at Luke chapter 18 and pondering the implications of the stories and parables that Jesus told there in that chapter. And the thing that I kept thinking about was in the story at the first part of the chapter, the story about the widow who came to the judge. She came to a judge who it says, he feared not God, neither regarded man. And this widow came to this judge, and she said, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And Brother Jim made the point that this was her only option. There were other options, but she saw this as the only option. And I scratched my head and I thought, what are the other options? And the story came to my mind of a woman who dropped a rock off the city wall onto a soldier below and ended his life. And I couldn't help but think that for her to think of doing something like that, there must have been kind of satisfying to think of eliminating her adversary that way. There's a whole bunch of ways that there are options, like Brother Jim said, of how she could have dealt with the situation. But she knew that this was her only option of having it dealt with in a good way, in a satisfactory way, to where it would be someone else taking on the problem and dealing with the problem, and it would be truly dealt with. And so she keeps coming to the judge. She keeps coming to the judge. Why? Because that is, in her mind, the only right option. And ultimately, the judge says, well, I'm going to get really sick of her doing this. I'm just going to go ahead and take care of the problem. And it says that God, shall not God avenge his own elect who cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. And so Jesus gives a promise there that God cares about those who come to him and see God as the only right option. Those who have enough faith to keep knocking on the door, to keep coming, to keep asking. Those who believe God, who take his word at face value and say, God, keep knocking on the door. Knock, knock, God, here I am, here I am. And it says there that God will reward that faith by taking care of their issues. And maybe it may not come in our time frame or the time frame we'd like to see it, but when God takes care of that problem, I believe there will be a time when we say it was the best possible outcome that there could be. So believing God takes courage. So if you look at verse 7 and 8, taking God at his word, bringing the problem to God, asking God to deal with that takes courage. Because you can be surrounded by people who say, hey, you know what, you could do this and eliminate that problem. Hey, you know what, there's a simple solution. And they fill in the answer. And what are you doing about this problem? Well, I'm praying and I trust that God will take care of it. Well, what's God going to do about it, they might say. And so we can be surrounded by those who say, you got to take matters into your own hands. But it takes courageous faith to take God at his word and believe that God will take care of this issue. That's real courage. There is a phrase in the book of Revelation where it talks about, herein is the patience of the saints. Those saints are people who died for their faith, and there came a time when they saw evil being taken care of, and I believe they rejoiced in that, and they saw the reward of the price they had paid. They believed God, they took God at his word, and God took care of the issues, and I believe they were saying best possible outcome that could happen. If we go to verse 23 to 25, there the rich young ruler had come to Jesus, and he didn't have the courage to follow through with the instruction that Jesus gave him. Couldn't do it. It says he went away very sorrowful. He didn't actually have the courage to put aside what he wanted and to follow through with the instruction of Jesus. And so Jesus said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And there are stories in history of people who actually had the courage to give everything away and to go serve God, and God supplied their needs. Verse 29 through 30, here's a promise. Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. There's a promise given. There's a promise given, and it follows right on the tails of the story about the rich young ruler who wasn't willing to follow the instructions of Jesus. And Jesus gives us that promise. And if we are willing to believe that and to follow God's instruction, wherever he leads us, at whatever cost it takes to do the job, we are told we will be rewarded many times over. And there are not many people who actually have the courage to take God at his word and do just that. If we go to Romans chapter 12 and begin in verse 12, here again, God is giving us some specific instruction for our lives, and there's one of these things that it takes true courage to follow through with living out this instruction for our lives, because the courage comes not because we actually have to do some great thing. Well, it is a great thing. Trusting God to fulfill his promise is a great thing, because so often we are surrounded with people who say, you got to do something. And so to say, I'm trusting God to take care of the issue, it doesn't look like you're doing anything. So to actually take God at his word takes great courage, because we are actually putting the matter into God's hand and believing that God is going to take care of it. That takes courage when many people around us might say, you know what, you could take care of this. You could fix this problem. but it's not following the instructions that God gives. Well, let me shorten this down here a little bit, pick out a few less verses. 17, starting there. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. How many of us have courageous faith enough to say, you know what? God's word means exactly what it says, and I'm going to follow through believing that God is going to fulfill his promise. That takes courageous faith. In the spiritual, it takes no less courage than it took for Joshua to face those giants that were waiting for them in the promised land. But God said they would overcome, and Joshua said, all right, we can do it. God said he will help us. So no less courage today to be overcomers and to follow God's instructions than it took back then. There are multiple things in the Word of God that fall kind of in the same category as the verses that I just read. If we go to 1 Peter chapter 3, and verse 1 and 2, it says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. And so here is giving a instruction to the wives and a promise with it. There's instruction given along with a promise. It doesn't say will work out, but they say there's actually, God is saying there is a possibility that this may have a greater impact. And it is actually the only promise that is given for a wife to really, truly impact her husband, is to order her life in a godly way. It takes courageous faith. It takes courageous faith. There are lots of other options, aren't there? There are lots of other options. But to say, this is my only option, because this is what God has given me to do. And if we turn to verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I may be the only one, but husbands, let's be honest here. Have you ever caught yourself thinking, oh, why do I have to make up the difference? Seems like you could do that. But here we are told to be willing to make up the difference. Be willing to make up the difference. And do we have the courageous faith that it takes to say, you know what? God's word says that. And I'm going to take it at face value, believing that the best possible outcome will come when I make that my only option. If we go to Ephesians as well, there are some of the same type of instructions there for practical, everyday life. Ephesians chapter 5, there it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. But sometimes I feel like I did that and it didn't help. Ever find yourself thinking that? If you've been married for 3 weeks, you don't count in this one. You got to get with people who've been married, like Jim and Randy and me, for 20 years or better. Sometimes our flesh wants to say that, but I did that and it didn't help. But God doesn't give us an option around that. He says, here's the instructions,
for the best possible outcome. And you know what? That comes down to the nitty-gritty. I'd like to go back to the big, important battle, the one that makes me famous, rather than deal with the nitty-gritty details of life that involves me giving up what I want, because God promised a return for doing that. I don't always want to fight those little battles, so to speak, but they are so important because it equips us to fight the bigger battles and truly be overcomers. There's some pretty simple instructions there that's so easy to say, but there's got to be a better option here. Courageous faith, believing God to do that when things are not easy or pleasant. We could spend a lot more time talking about that. There are things that happen that bring many changes in our lives. And our human nature and society around us, they respond, they say there's options here, there's things you can do. But God also gives us an option. And the best possible outcome comes when we, with courageous faith, grab a hold of God's instruction and we follow through. Best possible outcome comes out of that. Courageous faith says, God's direction is my option. That's my only option amongst all of these options. 1 John chapter 2, in verses 13 or 14, I won't turn to that, but there was a phrase in there that says, I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. Strength to be overcomers is found through the word of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, I won't turn to there either, but the writer of Ecclesiastes goes through a whole bunch of stuff and he leaves you feeling like exhausted, sort of, at least he does me, thinking, wow, why am I even trying? It's all vanity. It's all vanity. You know, the lazy man and the diligent man get the same thing. 6 feet of dirt. The wealthy one and the poor one, 6 feet of dirt. He kind of, I don't know, leaves me tired after I read that. But I get to the very end and it said, let us hear the whole conclusion of this matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So we can look at so many things and so many options in the physical. There are so many options. But all those options all end up in the same way. But when we fear God and keep his commandments, that is going to bring about a difference that is not only for this life, but is also for the eternal. So that is the best option. Best option for the best outcome. And so it takes courage to follow through with that when so many people around you don't. It takes real courage. Courage that comes by faith to follow through with the instruction when so many people don't follow through. There are so many teachings in the Bible that we recognize. Sanctity of life, sanctity of marriage, what constitutes marriage, and I could add sanctity of male and female identity. Those things are going to pieces in society around us. Do we have the courage to believe God for what he says, to take his word at what he says, and to simply state our belief, believing that this is the only option? There are other things like living a non-resistant life, non-conformity to this world, and so many other things that are a part of what we believe and what we would teach. The head covering. You know, distinctive dress that separates us from the world. Courageous faith says, I believe God gave me this instruction and this is my option. There are lots of options. lots of options. But to say, this is what God is telling me through His Word, and therefore I believe it, I receive it, and I'm going to live it out, willing to receive God's instruction. There are, in the Word of God, I've picked out five principles of biblical courage, and Matthew, could you look up 1 Chronicles 22:13? And Henry, could you look up Psalm 27, verse 14? And Chad, Psalm 31, verse 24. And then Steve Mears, Isaiah 41, verse 6. And Randy, Acts 28, verse 15. And Emmanuel, Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. And Aaron, Romans 8, 31. So if y'all would look up those references, and we want to see in those a principle of biblical courage. So the first one, we become courageous by doing what is right. And 1 Chronicles 22, verse 13. That's right. We become courageous by doing, following God's instruction. So we become courageous by doing right. Number two, courageous strength comes from waiting on God. Psalm 27, verse 14. Courageous strength comes from waiting on God. Courageous strength comes from hope in God. Psalm 31, verse 24. That's right. Courageous strength comes from hope in God. Courageous strength comes from having people around that encourage you. Isaiah 41, verse 6. Everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. Also, Acts 28, verse 15. When Paul saw those people that showed up to support him, he thanked God and took good courage. Courageous strength comes from having people around us that encourage us. It's kind of like chocolate at just the right moment, isn't it? Surprising how that impacts some people. Or in Proverbs, I think it is, it says a word fitly spoken. A word of encouragement at just the right time. An act of kindness, a deed of kindness. Coming from people around us that encourage us. So courageous strength comes from having people around us. God is the source of courageous strength, and He never leaves us. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and of a good That's right. He will not fail thee or forsake thee. Romans 8, verse 31.
What shall we say then? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against
us? That's right. God is the source of courageous strength, and He never leaves us. If you're thinking about these things and you have an opportunity, read through Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12, and just ponder, what are the other options in every verse? There's a lot of other options. There's a lot of other options that people take, and on a human level, can seem like options that would have more impact. But God gives the instruction, and when we look at that instruction, we say, that's my option. So when I read those verses, as I read through them, and I was considering what's the other options, and how would they impact me or people around me? If you put some thought into that, you really can see the big difference that it takes when we let God's instruction be our option. Because as we do that, we can have courage, believing, knowing that in a sense we're teaming up with God. My problem is this problem, and God is going to deal with that, deal with my situation according to his all-seeing, all-knowing, and ever-present wisdom that he has, that I don't have. So let's allow the Word of God to impact us, so that as we see the stories that God has given to us and the instruction that he gives to us, we can realize that as we follow God, we can have great courage, because there's constant things come at us. To do battle is a normal part of the Christian life, spiritual battles, and so that's normal. But when we team up with God, so to speak, I don't quite like that term, because it kind of sounds like we're being best buds. And in a sense, that's true. But when we allow God, we team up with God's word, perhaps I should say, then we can have maximum strength to overcome what comes at us. We can be like Joshua, where God said to him, be strong and of great courage.